It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stankyleg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, 6 minutes. 6 minutes. That's how long it took me to get here this morning.
Boom!
You suck.
All of you suckers and you suck.
Take that!
Oh,
all
wow.
Of you Natick jerks complaining about how long it's going to take to get to the new studio.
F you,
six
man.
Effing minutes it took to get here this morning.
Damn it.
That feels good.
All I could
it?
Think about was the first big snowfall. It's bombing down snow. It's, you know, January 6th, and there I am waking up at 3 in the morning like an ass.
All the complaining
just
that I heard for the last, like,
you
three,
suck.
4 months. And all I did was this morning, I was like, all right, so let's see how long this takes. I was at 3:03. I was pulling out, and it ended up being at 3:09 when I pulled into the parking lot. God. Hell yes.
Wow.
Doesn't suck.
Damn it.
To be in the new Dorchester studio.
I think I took 11 minutes.
11 minutes? Okay, well, I mean, and you're coming from?
Charlestown.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you're right up the street.
So,
you got a couple stoplights.
This time of day, not too bad. Yeah, I had a few stoplights. Yeah.
And you, what did you end up taking this morning, Walt?
Half an hour.
Without traffic. Perfect conditions.
Half an hour.
Right. What did you normally take?
It usually takes me about 20 minutes, 19 minutes to the old place.
It's like 10 extra minutes. Big deal. You know, that's not a big deal.
Set that one less snooze button while
I... every set, Jones, you know this, every minute counts when you work this shift.
I picked up an extra snooze.
Jesus.
Well,
God.
6 minutes, so the rest you can suck it. So this is the best commute
the
ever.
Fire of a thousand suns.
So it is the Toucher and Rich show, and we are in the brand new studio in Dorchester, and there are a lot of kinks and things we're working out, but the engineers here, they have been working like 18-hour days for the past 2 weeks, and surprisingly, they are very kind, and they've been in a good mood and accommodating, because if I was them, I'd probably want to kill someone right now. I mean, it's been one problem that they've been curing after the next, and now we are pretty much sitting here, and I think 95% good to go. But the thing is, though, that this is going to be a big test for everyone, because our show's weirder than the rest of them. Like,
yeah.
You're sitting to my right, as you see, there's a whole entire board that none of the other shows would use, because Fred and I we like to control everything that goes on the air. Like any kind of audio that's played, any kind of sound that's done, like that is, we're weird that way. We like to do all that. Whereas usually like Jimmy Stewart would in the other room do all of that and like Jim Lyle. So we have a whole different board that's just set up for that and buttons that have never been pressed before. And so we're working through all the kinks. It is going to sound a little off, I'm sure, today, but we have the best people on the job. I mean, they have been really, really busting their ass to get everything going smoothly. But it is, it's been an interesting couple of days. There's apparently some big champagne party at 10 o'clock.
That's right. I saw Chris in the new studio.
I saw that email. Yeah.
Should I have... Are you wearing a nice little golf shirt over there?
Well, I usually wear the golf shirt.
Should I gussy it up a little bit more?
Jones, I think you're perfect just the way you are.
Believe me.
I saw that champagne toast. I didn't know what to do.
Well, I had to wear my finest shirt today to check out that.
Oh, pliability.
Nice.
That's lovely.
A little homage to Tom Brady there. Very nice.
Official TB12 shirt.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. There's the logo.
So hey. I found this store that was selling like a bunch of TB12 stuff. And they're like, I was looking at the shirts and I was laughing. And they're like, do you want a pliability shirt? I was like, what, am I not going to get a pliability shirt? Well, of course. And I mean, legitimately, like they are selling these shirts that just say like pliability on the side of it. So I guess that's his new like catchphrase. And the best part of it is when I went to go buy the shirt, I'm about to check out and they say, oh, every shirt comes with a free gift. I'm like, okay, what's the gift? And they hand me this, a bag of TB12 Buffalo Almond and Ranch Cashews.
Nice.
TB12 branded.
Cool.
Which means that my muscles are going to be freaking
those cashews are way better than normal cashews.
You're going to be popping over there. Yeah. Those are like $50 cashews.
Super cashews.
Yeah, I think these are fairly expensive if you like buy like, because they buy them by like the box. TB12 nuts.
Yeah.
So I'm reading the description on the front of it because, you know, they got to make it sound like these aren't just nuts.
No,
this isn't like a handful of nuts that we're selling for however much dollars it is. I mean, that's if you went to like a bar and they have the bowl of nuts. That's like two small handfuls.
Yeah.
In this little bag right here.
The quantity is not, there's not maybe as much as you'd want.
Right. So you have to sell why these nuts are special nuts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And on the bag, it says organic raw sprouted nuts.
I like organic raw sprouted nuts.
Raw, vegan, organic, gluten-free, dairy-free. Aren't almost all nuts exactly that? Like dairy-free nuts?
Pretty much.
I don't know why you had to put dairy-free on a nut bag.
Yeah. Aren't they pretty much all sprouted?
Are you telling me that I can't squeeze this and like
all
a giant hunk of cheese will come out of it?
That's the problem. All the hotel bars add milk. That's the problem with the nuts you get in hotel bars.
That's why they're bad for you.
I guess so. Like I'm biting it. It just is like, you know, my mouth was just squirting out all sorts of like butter because of these nuts. So there you go. So the tea, I'm representing it today.
You got that with the shirt.
With the shirt.
That's
it was
nice.
A free gift with my TB12 pliability
shirt.
Don't
ever say you never gave you nothing.
Well, listen, all I know is that, you know, the business is booming when
and
you can just walk into a store and go, boom, I'll take the blue baseball jersey pliability shirt.
Maybe.
Thank you very much.
Maybe that's why he needs a new contract. He's giving away all these free nuts. He's taking a bath on these nuts.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would like to find out. I'll look up later on just how much they're charging for this. Like tiny. It's like a tiny two handful. I bet it's not ridiculous, but I bet you have to buy them in bulk, which it would be fairly absurd. So there you go. I signed up for the app, the TB12 app, just to see what was going on, but isn't it like $100? Like,
what?
You can download the app, but to get like all of the good stuff, like daily affirmations, things like that. You know, and I think you can just hold the phone up to your muscles and get like a Guerrero type massage,
sure,
using the vibrate feature. And I think that costs something like crazy, like $100 to do so. So that is
$100. What? Like one time?
I'll have to find out. It's, you know how like on an app,
it's not like a yearly fee, is it? It's just like a one time. You get the Brady app?
You know, I don't know. All I know is I download them. I'm like, oh, this will be kind of funny. And the next thing you know, there's like, oh, holy crap, you're asking me for $100 right now?
Yeah, you're like a hard pass.
I don't know if I need that. And I don't know if they changed it since then because they probably weren't getting a ton of people signing up. But I'm part of the crew, man. I'm part of the pliability crew now. You can't take that away from me. I got the shirt.
Looking good, feeling good.
Which I thought would be perfect to wear for when, of course, Wes Welker and Rob Ninkovich come in later on at 8 o'clock.
Ninkovich is going to take one look at that and start laughing at you.
Well,
you're aware
of
this, right?
You know, well, maybe I'm just more of a man than Ninkovich is.
Okay.
All right? So maybe he's not man enough to rock a pliability t-shirt.
I think that's it.
So we're gonna have,
I'd run that by him when he gets here.
We're going to have Rob Ninkovich
We haven't had it in a while, which is good. And I was kind of rooting for Croatia just so Ninkovic would be in a good mood when he came in. But, you know, unfortunately, that sucks for them because he's the only person I know who was rooting for Croatia, like honestly rooting for Croatia.
Oh, he was into it?
Oh, yeah. He's what percentage Croatian? Like, I mean, he's like, that's who he is.
Okay.
And then we've got Welker's coming in, who's always great. Scal's coming in.
Oh, boy.
Anytime you, and I don't think Vollmer's coming in this time. Like,
did anyone notice the difference?
Well, I guess not. But anytime that Vollmer did not want to be there last year.
Vollmer sat here and did nothing. He sat here like a bookcase over in the corner.
I felt bad because, like, Vollmer's like a nice guy. Say. Like, he's like a good enough guy.
Yes.
But Welker's got, like, and Ninkovic and Scal have, like, these total A personalities, and they're talking trash on people, and they're busting each other's balls, and Vollmer's like, do not compute the things that say.
Vollmer's back of the bus quiet.
Yeah, he was just like, I don't know what to do, just smiling happily. And you would ask him a question, and then, like, Ninkovic would jump in and save him. Because he's like,
he's drowning over here.
It's like, don't talk to Dave. You know, he's like, Dave doesn't get out much.
Yeah.
So we're going to have them in, and it's always strange when you have three people in and making it a cohesive interview. So we got some ideas of some stuff we're going to do with that. Adam Jones is going to be filling in. Are you here tomorrow, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Today and tomorrow, we have something that I think you're going to be perfect for, a bracket that we're going to start this week starting at 7 o'clock. Ooh. I think you are going to be somebody who will be an expert on the topic.
Oh, nice.
Or at least you will be perceived to be by our listeners.
Yeah, kind of tell you which way we're going with this.
Not really an expert on anything.
Expert on the topic, which would be good, and so much other stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to give us a call, 617-779-0985. Call us this morning because we are testing out the phone lines and trying to get everything worked out. On top of that, I'm a moron. So as far as like answering calls and things, I already am an awkward at best at doing it because once again, when, you know, one wheel is gone, you move it around and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So we will have an enjoyable. The other weird thing too is that I'm looking out. So, and we are right where everybody walks in from all the other shows.
Right.
So we are the featured fish tank when you come up the stairs.
Yeah.
So honestly, everyone who is an employee that comes to the second floor, we're going to see him and they're going to see us. And on top of that, we got a great view of the bathrooms.
Yeah.
So we can ridicule everyone now and name names.
You weren't here, but the 96.9 people came in and wished us good luck. Lauren was here from the Lauren and Wally show. He showed up, your buddy. And
Lauren's not my buddy. Wally's my buddy.
Oh, Wally's your buddy? I got the wrong guy. Yeah. Sorry.
Lauren can go screw. Wally's the guy.
Lauren, Team Wally came in for days. He wanted to say hi.
Listen,
you know, you weren't here. I said hi for both of us.
If you're not wearing a nice, sensible cardigan around your neck, I don't want to talk to you.
That's a good point.
Your name ain't Wally.
I understand. Yep.
So the rest of them, they can just do their thing.
Okay.
And by the way, the one thing I was fearing this morning, thank goodness, is not going to be happening for a while. Wiggy not in the building.
He's on vacation?
Wiggy is on vacation.
Oh, that's too bad.
So the Wiggy watch alarm is going to have to be on hold.
That's not anybody's deal but yours.
Until next week.
You have all but invited him in every day of the show.
All of our problems. Wiggy's all of our. If he comes, how long on Monday?
When he's back Monday.
Until he's in studio.
The block of time that he has to speak is from like 6 until 6:12, and then he has nothing to do until 7. So I say about 6:16, he'll be here Monday morning.
He works like 4 minutes an hour.
Yeah. And he's
but with three other hosts, right?
That's right. He splits time with three other hosts in the other room. Yeah. So he speaks for maybe four minutes.
And they're like pre-recorded jam scams, so they're just like sitting around for me. So honestly, it's right. 4 minutes an hour, Wiggy has any responsibilities, he's going to be, yeah, hey, what's going on over here, sports? So I'm going to record another viral video in your studio.
It is studio.
However he pronounces it. All right. Well, 617-779-0985. We will get to everything that happened last night, including Bryce Harper winning the home run derby. Still a douchebag, but we will get to that right after this.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Touch and Rich. By the way, that CBS Sports Minute with Boomer was brought to you by 128 Volvo. Hey, someone hit a lot of home runs last night.
There it is!
Center field, and Bryce Harper has thrown his bat in the air and won the 2018 T-Mobile Home Run Derby, and he loves it.
Well, in a home run derby that seemed doomed from the start, it really couldn't have finished much better than it did last night, except that the guy that won is kind of a douchebag. Bryce Harper wins the 2018 Home Run Derby. And the other guy whose name you recognized came in second. After the roster was announced last week as a who's who of who's that, baseball must have been elated that it was the two guys that people actually cared about who made it to the final round. Honestly, it's almost as if they would have scripted it, if the people in Major League Baseball and the networks could have scripted it, it would have gone exactly this way. But it doesn't discount the fact that last night's home derby was another excellent entry since they changed that format a few years ago. I mean, it used to be one of the most meaningless, pointless, annoying, extraneous events on television. And once they also got rid of Chris Berman, too, that helped. Even the production side of it. John, you were saying this yesterday to me. It's now more like a question and answer type interview show.
Yeah,
where
Ravitch had a bunch of guys on. You know, Jessica Mendoza take Mookie Betts into the outfield and watch him shag balls. Whatever. You took the attention away from the home runs for a while, and then you were able to kind of enjoy the event, especially since now it's timed.
Yeah.
You get an extra 30 seconds if you hit a couple of homers over 440. There are a lot of different things. It moves a lot faster, and it was over by 10:15, whereas... Yeah. Previous year's what? 11?
No.
11:15?
Isn't that still way too long, though?
No, not for that, because it moves quickly. I don't know how you can speed it up anymore. How can you speed it up more?
Don't let guys have 15 timeouts in the middle of the thing.
You have one timeout.
You have two in the final round. Schwarber and Harper were both calling timeouts every 2 seconds.
I think that's not that bad.
So
two in the final, one doesn't suck.
I'll tell you what. I sent out an email midway through the derby, and I'm like, I don't even know how much I'm going to watch. I tuned into the final. The final was pretty good.
It was great.
And I intermittently was watching prior to that. The final was pretty good.
Once again, somebody did something right in baseball. And boy, in a sport where they really need to do something as far as just to get some sort of star power and some sort of good stories like this, I like it. They did it right. Single elimination. Each batter getting, 4 minutes to hit as many salamis as possible. And there's a 30-second bonus for every shot that's
over 440. You get an extra 30 seconds.
I don't get that either, because doesn't pretty much everyone do that except Bregman?
I don't know, man. Truth be told, no.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all.
It was
kind
of shocking.
I think maybe three or four of the eight guys in the first round got extra time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's 440. That seems random to me.
It does seem very random.
But 440 seemed to be the right number.
Yeah.
So,
Bryce kind of sucked at first. He only had 13 in the first round. Then he beat Freddie Freeman with 26 seconds left, and then Max Muncy with a full minute. But Harper came back from the dead. I mean, that Schwarber, the final round was unbelievable. So he hit his 18th winning homer with just seconds left, but he had hit one of those 440 ones, so he got an extra 30 seconds, and that was just like, you know, kind of gravy on top of it.
Actually, in the first round, Bregman had needed a home run to tie. His last ball was off the wall. I mean, there was actually some drama at the end of his first round. I forget who it was he hit against.
It's definitely worked its way up the list. I mean, it used to be disposable. Now I don't mind watching it. It's still not the three-point contest. Of all of the, like, skills and bonus things, matter of fact, the three-point contest might be the only other skills-type competition in any of the sports that I'll actually tune in to watch, because I always forget the NHL one's on.
You don't watch Dunk? Oh, NHL one's not bad.
The slap shot thing's pretty good.
Target practice is good, too.
You don't like Dunk?
Oh my gosh. The dunk is speaking of clownish.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
I still have a soft spot for the dunk. Just like I have a soft spot for the home run derby.
When's the last
dunk
that made you really go, this is going to be iconic?
Oh, 15 years ago, J.R. Ryder with his, East Bay Funk? I don't know, long time ago.
The fact that he can recall it scares the living daylights out of me. All the dunks that have happened in that contest, most people...
Actually, that's not true. I take it back. Sorry. Vince Carter in 2000 or 2001.
Vince Carter, I can see. You know, Zach LaVine had a couple recently, but... J.R. Ryder, that's what you pull out of it.
When Gerald Green blew out the birthday candles, I think was
that, that was all right. D. Brown with the Reeboks. So we got to go back to that.
I like the D. Brown one a lot.
You got to pump up them suckers. You know what? Because then it became like
You know, like the Dwight Howard era.
It's clownish, but I watch it every year.
I mean, who was the guy who put the sticker on the backboard? That was kind of funny. Like, it was a sticker of his own face. Like, that was at least kind of like somewhat imaginative. But the actual dunks, like, we've seen everything.
Yeah.
And I know that when people tried to freak out over Blake Griffin jumping over that car, dude, he jumped over like the front part of the hood. He didn't even jump over the entire car.
It was like when Brett Barry dunked from the free throw line, except he was like a full foot in front. Yeah, it was
right. Dwight Howard wore a cape and didn't even throw it down. He kind of threw the ball in the back.
Okay, no, how about, okay, sorry why I go off on a tangent. Dwight Howard wore a Superman cape,
yes,
trying to get the name Superman when Shaq was still playing, and he was Superman. God, I hate Dwight Howard. That guy sucks so bad. Any team he goes on, that stink is going to follow him, and they're never going to win. That's why I'm so glad the Celtics didn't waste their time on him. Well, when he was being floated around, I was like, oh, well, look, he had a great year last year, and he did have a very good year last year, but screw that guy. He just has that loser stink that you're never going to win, and I think Carmelo's got it too. There's certain players in that league that if you have them on your team, you're never going to win despite how good they are, and he's one of them. So, by the way, the home crowd goes nuts. Bryce does in front of the home. He's like, hey, look, it's a guy who's not going to be here much longer. So here's Bryce afterwards. Let's take a listen.
Only the third player to win in front of your home crowd. How much did that mean?
Unbelievable. I freaking love this crowd. Every single night they come out and support us. Washington Nationals, baby. Let's go.
And I can't wait to get the hell out of town. Absolutely. Bryce, congratulations on having your swing completely wrecked for the remainder of the 2018 season.
Well, I don't know how much further it can be wrecked. He's hitting 210 right now.
I guess it's
at
a good
the All-Star break. So
that's a decent point.
Nowhere to go but up.
But isn't that a good thing? Like to know that, like, when, you know, when you heard that JD Martinez was going to be part, isn't that a good thing? Like,
yes.
You're sitting there going, I don't want anybody involved in the Red Sox involved in any of this.
It's a good thing for the Red Sox. It would have been nice for the Derby last night, though, because you said, like, at least they got the two guys that you've probably heard of. But
sure. John asked me the name of one of the players from the Dodgers.
Max Muncy?
Yeah.
Max Muncy.
And I was like, huh?
The top seed is a guy who just got voted in on the extra five. Jesus Aguilar was the top seed in the tournament. Quick, who's he play for?
The Brewers.
Yes. Maybe I should have asked him.
Yeah. You should have asked me.
I should have asked you. You wouldn't have known. You would, of course, would have known.
I would have had no
idea. Jesus Aguilar is having a mammoth year. No one's ever heard of him. And the fact that he had, considering the year he's had, that he had to be one of the final five voted in, and he's the top seed in the home run derby, is ridiculous.
Well, the starting lineups of tonight's All-Star game were announced yesterday. And hey, look at that. Chris Sale is getting the start. It will be his third consecutive All-Star start, and he'll be going against the man with weird eyes, Max Scherzer. And the two guys from the Red Sox getting the starting now will be Mookie Betts. He's going to be leading off tonight. And as we were mentioning, J.D. Martinez will be at cleanup. Here is Chris Sale on his start.
Big honor. I know this hasn't happened very often in a long time. So, you know, I appreciate it. I'm going to try to have some fun with it, too. So that's why we're all here, too. So we're grip and rip and try to get some wins.
I think any clip from the All-Star game is an unnecessary audio clip. Matter of fact, I'm going to call for a ban on future All-Star game.
About the game.
We're all out here to have a fun time. It's all about the fun.
It's for the
kids.
No
one says anything else other than that. Like, is there ever any, like, real trash talk or anything of substance said by someone in the All-Star game?
Well, sometimes you get, like, Machado who might get traded. Like, so you get a little of that.
Well, okay,
but about the actual game, no, definitely not.
So Machado, I did hear something last night where he was doing an interview with, like, his nephew. You know, they always bring kids along and stuff like that. And, like, they were interviewing his nephew, and they said, you know, what's your favorite team other than the one Daddy plays on? And he said, the Yankees. You know, what team do you hope that he plays for? The Yankees. And
yeah.
I think it was Pedro who was trying to get him to talk about, like, all the rumors and things like that. So I guess the Yankees are out. Is that what I heard you saying?
Apparently, and this John Heyman, who we've had on the program before, he reported last night that the Orioles are on the verge of trading him. Tonight will more than likely be his last game representing the Orioles. It should be done by the end of the All-Star break, and the Yankees are not the team. Philadelphia apparently stepped up. They're going to trade one of their best pitching prospects. He doesn't say it directly, but it appears Philadelphia is in the lead.
All right. Well, right after John Wallach's headlines, we have some potential good news for the Patriots that involves the weakening of the Steelers. On top of that, don't believe what they're saying about the NFL and their ratings. I have some stats here that everyone who has been complaining about protests and things like that might make actually think, wow, the NFL is doing just fine and making enough money as is. So we'll get to that right after Wallach's headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
Major League Baseball, it's on its All-Star break, and that means instead of actual games, we got the Home Run Derby last night. The one hometown entrant, Bryce Harper, won it after finishing as a runner-up 5 years ago.
Pretty incredible. You're only as good as your BP guy. My dad was unbelievable tonight. Threw a lot of strikes, and we got in a row right there with a little bit left, and, you know, Schwarber put up a fight. I mean, unbelievable job he did, and I knew I was going to have to hit 20 to 25 to be able to beat Schwarbs, and I got out there and, you know, got in a row.
He did beat Kyle Schwarber in the final by hitting 9 homers in a 10-pitch span and hitting the second pitch of his extra time into the seats for the victory. The All-Star game is tonight. Red Sox lefty Chris Sale will get the start for the American League for a third straight year against the Nationals' Max Scherzer. The Sox Mookie Betts will lead off for the AL. J.D. Martinez will hit fourth. The MLB Network is reporting the Baltimore Orioles are on the verge of finally trading Manny Machado. They're so close, in fact, that Machado's appearance in the All-Star game tonight could be his last game representing the Orioles. The Yankees are reportedly not Machado's destination. Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell failed to strike a deal on a long-term contract yesterday. That means he'll have to play on the franchise tag again this coming season. And the Celtics have reportedly signed Walt Lemon Jr. to a two-way contract. He replaces Kadeem Allen, who was let go on Sunday. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. See Avenged Sevenfold with special guests Prophets of Rage and 3 Days Grace. July 22nd, Xfinity Center. Buy tickets at LiveNation.com. I'm John Wallach in Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports. Wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Machine wannabe band. I don't know. No, there's no way that's Prophets of Rage. Because that would be like Chuck D. Isn't Chuck D the singer? Like, Prophet. It can't be Rage. I don't know. All I know is that Prophets of Rage
drop
is one
it.
Of the.
Drop it!
All I know is that Prophets of Rage was one of the things that on paper looked like it was going to work. All right. You've got, like, you know, basically everyone but the singer of Rage Against the Machine, and we'll get Chuck D. of Public Enemy, all right, and then you'll get one of the dudes from Cypress Hill, and it was just the Rhea. That was not very good.
The Rhea.
And maybe I only heard like 2 or 3 songs, but that was not very good. All right, so but real quick, just to follow up on something, I had somebody tweet this to us. I was talking about these nuts that I was given, the TB12 nuts that they gave me with purchase of a TB12 pliability T-shirt, which I proudly rocked this morning. And I was saying, I wonder how expensive these are. $40 for a 12-pack of nuts, that is reasonable. I am not going to talk trash on that. I do find it funny how they try to market nuts as being something more than what they are by saying they're organic, raw-sprouted, vegan, organic, gluten-free, dairy-free.
So it's a $3.
Organic twice, in that
$3
sense.
Bag of nuts.
A $3 bag of nuts, which I'm sure if we went downstairs to our glorious new cafeteria, that's probably the price that nuts would be.
But you can't just get one. You got to buy 12. So you're dropping, you're dropping $40.
Yeah, but that's a lot of nuts.
Every time you want some nuts, you're dropping $40.
It's a decent amount of nuts for you. You got nuts for days.
That's true. That is true.
So, so not too bad of a thing. He's, you know, not that part of the TB12 thing is not a scam. So there you go. Well, Patriots fans, good news is that this might be the last year you have to tolerate Le'Veon Bell as a Steeler, because yesterday was the deadline to reach a deal before the franchise tags across the NFL had to be applied. And now, according to his agents, it looks like after this year, it is sayonara Steelers. His agent yesterday told Adam Schefter, quote, his intention was to retire as a Steeler, but now that there's no deal, the practical reality is that now likely this will be Le'Veon's last season as a Steeler. So right after the deadline passed, Le'Veon tweeted, quote, to all my Steeler fans, my desire has always been to retire a Steeler. Both sides worked extremely hard to make that happen, but the NFL is a hard business at times. To the fans that had hope, I'm sorry that we let you down, but trust me, 2018 will be my best season to date. Now, there were reports that came out that the Steelers had made two pretty big offers over the past
like, I think, year. One last summer and one this winter. They're beginning around $13.3 million a year on average and working their way up slightly. I guess Bell turned both of them down, saying that he wouldn't take a contract. I remember in April he said this, that he wouldn't take a contract for less than $14.5 million annually, based on what essentially was the tag number that he ended up getting. So for months after that, they negotiated. Nothing really happened. And now the Steelers remain a wonderful mess, not able to lock up one of their best players. Yes, John.
How many years do you give Le'Veon Bell, and for how much money? I understand what he wants. They offered him $70 million over however much time.
It was $570 million.
There is a pretty clear line of when running backs begin to turn in the wrong direction. Bell just turned 26. He led the team. He led the league in rushes last year, and we've seen it time and time again. When you get so much wear and tear on a running back, pretty much when you get to be 28, 29, that's it. So you figure he maybe has 2-3 years left of productivity, and then he goes the other way. I mean, and he's not just he doesn't just take hits running the football. He takes hits catching passes out of the backfield, too, and that's great if you're a multi-purpose threat. But Bell maybe has 2 or 3 years left, so how much money, if you're a team next year when he turns 27, how many years do you give him? Not many.
I mean, just guarantee all the money up front? I think the Steelers, out of that $70 million, is like $30 million guaranteed, which would have been dumb for him to take, by the way. What does he make this year on the tag?
14 and a half.
So he's making 14 this year alone.
Right.
And then he can go hit the open market next year. Like, it would have been dumb for him to take that deal, but I don't know, just give him all his money in 2 or 3 years up front, and then you're kind of covering yourself, whether it's a 4, 5, 6 year deal.
Could have done something that would make him happy, that would be, like, as you were saying, like, you know, something that would last maybe the 3 years or so. But, I mean, the guy's special. I mean, and he's somebody that now...
he's ridiculous.
He's unbelievable.
He's the top back in the NFL.
Well, I mean, it's
depending upon if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan or not. He's a top back in the NFL.
But this is something that's been going on for a while. And speaking of that, we still haven't heard anything about the Rob Gronkowski thing that they were going to have signed. You know, I mean, that was, remember how a couple months ago it was like a done deal?
Yeah, Hal wrote about it, that it was like, and he was still at the Herald. He switched jobs since then. That's how long ago it was. And he was like, oh yeah, this will happen. You can't negotiate twice in 1 year. Still waiting.
I have heard, however, that Gronk has been out at Foxborough in advance of when they're all supposed to report, which I think it's like on the 25th. So, I mean,
it's a week from Thursday.
He's
right?
Being a very good soldier since taking those days off. And I think that, you know, everyone's kind of talking to each other and things are good. However, if everything's as good as we hope them to be, you would think this was something that would have been ironed out a while back. And I don't know why it hasn't, but, I mean, there was the report that came out last week. I think it was Bedard who talked to a couple of heads of different teams, and they're saying, I don't think he's guaranteed to be with the Patriots. We still think there's a chance that someone can make a trade for him.
I think that's because the longer this goes on, then other teams see this as a door that continues to open.
Well, yeah, because these
more.
People work in the industry, and they know why sometimes you hesitate to sign people instantly, is maybe because you still have your ear out there trying to find out what people are going to offer you.
Right, like what else would be the holdup?
I mean, that's exactly why Greg Bedard wrote that piece and started calling around, because he was thinking the same thing, and sure enough, it was confirmed by a couple of people. They believe that he is still someone who's out on the market. And maybe that's why he's being a good soldier right now, is that he wants to remain a Patriot. He wants to be on a team that has a chance to win, and he wants to be with Tom Brady because Tom Brady makes him look good. So who knows? Who knows if that's the situation? But I didn't mean to digress, but it's the same type of thing. Like, you know, why have they not paid him yet? But either way, despite all the talk about NFL ratings going down and protests turning people off from the product and the quality of the game declining, blah, 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 the NFL made a buttload of money last year. As a matter of fact, a record amount. According to Bloomberg, the NFL distributed a record $8.1 billion to its teams last season, which is up 5% from the year before. Matter of fact, the president of the Packers, Mark Murphy, said he saw no negative financial consequences related to any of that off-the-field stuff that people were complaining about. So ratings or whatever, somehow they're still making more cash than they've ever made.
And I was looking at that link. Is there a breakdown of how they made their money?
There is. It came from incremental raises that were built into the NFL's media deals. So like television and things like that. On top of that, the league also got a ton more money when they added in that Amazon streaming deal.
Okay.
Which was worth about $50 million. So they said, if we're going to stream, let's make some cash out of it.
$50 million. I mean, that's what, $2 million a team? That's not a huge a huge thing, but it's something.
So, but the TV deals, that's definitely something.
That's massive. Yeah.
So the NFL has since extended the agreement with Amazon, and that's for 2 years and $130 million. So for the next 2 years, it's going to be even bigger than that. So just think how much money the NFL is going to make once they tie themselves in with a newly legalized sports gambling. Because all of them are trying to get a piece of the pie. And you know that behind the scenes, I'll tell you what. Give Kraft's credit because they tied themselves in with DraftKings way early.
Yep.
And we now know that DraftKings is one of the people who the whole time they were doing the fantasy sports thing, they were readying their app to be, hey, you already installed it on your phone. Now you can gamble on, you can straight up gamble on sports now. So I think they're one of the guys that, you know, thanks to Kraft and looking in and figuring out, well, this might be the way of the future, he's already got his finger in the pie there.
All right, question now is the TV deals run for another 4 years. I think they're through 2022. Do those prices go up or down afterwards? I mean, they never go down, but do they stay flat or do TV deals increase? I mean, the NFL has not been what it has been over the last couple of years. And a main, you guys said it yourself, a main portion of the revenue that they're able to rake in is because of the insane amount of money they're making through their television partners.
Every time I think that it's going to take a hit, it doesn't. It goes the opposite direction.
But I guess
they start making
all this other stuff that you're talking about may save them. If the TV partners come back to them and say, look, all this controversy, all this crap, we're not spending more money than we did the last time.
Right, their bottom line may net out, but you're saying the TV contract, I think they're going to, I mean, you're right, we always say this, and every year they go up, and they go up massively, but I would vote, you know, stagnant or even down.
You see, that's the thing, and that's why the legalized gambling may save them. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you have this other revenue stream, which is going to be massive, especially if it is legalized nationwide as we go state by state. I mean, this is going to be huge for the NFL because I think the TV partners are sick of this.
Oh, John, I mean, think about, okay, first of all, think about how fantasy football got people to watch games that they would never watch. But, you know, I still think it's ridiculous because you have an app that just updates you on everything. However, when you go to Vegas, you see people in the sports book watching, like, garbage sports. Like, you know, the harness racing.
Like living and dying on, like, every play and everything that happens. Yeah.
So think about that. If in the morning you wake up on Sunday and go, you know what? I'm going to bet these little bets on every single game. You're going to watch. You're going to want to watch what happens. It's the excitement. Will I win? Will I lose? Absolutely, John. As soon as this gets regulated and it gets legalized and everyone can do it right from their phone, the ratings are absolutely going to skyrocket.
This is going to be their life preserver because there's so much crap surrounding the sport.
Why have they been fighting this?
Games are not fun to watch anymore.
Yep.
With all the instant replay and all the rules changes and a 5 or 6 minute delays. I mean, let alone if you have to sit in the stadium and sit through that with no way of knowing when it's going to end. But the television product is bad right now. So if you have a legalized
play on the field is bad.
The play on the field is bad at times too. So I mean, how many quarterbacks that are really good in this league? 9, 10?
Oh, less.
All right, so
like actually good, like 5.
2/3 of the quarterbacks are not fun to watch. So you have that on top of the replays, on top of all the other minute rule changes you have. I mean, the NFL needs that extra revenue stream. They need the bottom line. It'll help a lot.
Yep. And right now you got Dan Lifshatz and Joe Murray pumping their fists.
Hell yeah.
Finally, the world's going to come to us.
That's right.
By the way, nothing better than when Dan Lifshatz loses something that he put out on Twitter, like the Home Run Derby.
Who did he bet? Who did he have?
Well, he said, I've never gotten the Home Run Derby wrong, so you should have never listened to my advice on this one. But
he's
you know what?
Right, he said?
Yeah, he's I've never gotten it right, so you shouldn't have listened to right. all you idiots for listening to what I recommended. You should have done so.
I want restockers.
I kind of suck, so don't listen to what I'm saying. But I'm right. Every other time except for the I do love Dan Lifshatz. Those guys are great follow because the best is when they just tweet the word boom when they get like an over under. It's like, boom.
Boom.
Like, is there a word that they tweet when they just suck and they lose?
No, there's radio silence.
There's no tweet for that. It's like when Floyd Mayweather would like tweet how much money he wanted to fight. It's like, is there ever like a sad Floyd Mayweather tweet? My cash phone is gone. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get back in just a moment. Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is in studio this morning, and we're in our brand new studio down in Dorchester, which it probably took me 6 minutes to get to. So everyone else at the station can suck it. It's closer for me. It's all that matters. And I'm walking around the halls, And
I haven't been brave enough to go out there yet.
You haven't? Okay. No. So
I've just been tethered to this seat, not wanting to break anything.
Because for years, we were essentially just our own entity. I mean, you walked into a hallway from the parking lot. You walked straight to our studio. You saw no one and you left and that was it. So no windows, which we have windows now, which is kind of nice. So
yeah, it's light out.
I used to work in a cluster that was like this, where you had a ton of stations around. And the one thing that they do have is every section has their own little area that they claim is their own to put stuff on their walls. You know, in our section, it's, hey, yo, sports. And, you know, it's kind of Tom Brady's great. And, you know, and like, look at this thing. It's
buy a $40 bag of nuts. Hey, here's Gronk.
Right. Hey, look, it's Gronk.
Yeah.
And then you go around some of the other stations, they all have their posters. And I was just walking past one of the posters for, like, an alternative station, like alternative rock station there. Oh. And they had a poster. It was up.
Yeah.
And it was a lineup. And the lineup was, it was like 7 Mary 3. It was Tonic.
Yeah.
I believe Third Eye Blind might have been on there.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, wow, that's awesome. So what that must be from, like, you know, 99 or 2000?
It was last year.
It was like 2014 or 15. I'm like, what is this?
Oh, man.
Boy, music sure hasn't really evolved. At least on the radio side of things. We're all rocking away and away here. I'm chopping logs. I got me some flannel and I'm lumberjacking all around. I mean, this was... Dan O'Brien, previous WBCN music director. What year was this?
7 Mary 3 Cumbersome. I'm going to go 1997.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
See, I don't even know. I was thinking it was more like 2000.
Oh, no.
Older
than
that.
Really? New. Yeah, 90, let's go 97.
Too rich or too white, too black, too black or too white, too wrong or too right. There used to be a grocery store that was the equivalent of Star Market. It was called Kroger, where I used to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember one time I went to go shopping, and I saw in the back. I'm hearing some weird sound, by the way, whatever that is in the background. Way back in the corner of the parking lot, there was a giant bus, and I went over there. It was the 7 Mary 3 parking lot. Their tour bus was just sitting in the Kroger parking lot. Because I guess they couldn't afford to, like, stay in hotels, and they're just, like, hanging out. And this was, like, after... I'm hearing, like, two... Hang on. Let me play something.
A couple of things.
Yeah, I heard, like, eight things going at once. Okay, now it's done. Okay.
Yeah, it was a deep cut. It was a deep 7 Mary 3 cut.
It was 1996, but let's go late 96, Jonesy. So that meant it became ubiquitous in 1997.
Yeah. Well, the public heard it in 97. Yeah.
They were opening for Silverchair.
Oh, I like Silverchair. Silverchair is older than that.
No, you don't. Silverchair sucked.
I was like 9 years old. I like Silverchair.
Yeah, they were 9 years old. Silverchair, okay. I remember when I first heard this song, because believe it or not, it was someone who worked at my station who discovered Silverchair.
Really?
He went over on a vacation to Australia, and they had won like some like Battle of the Bands. They're all like 16 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And he brought the tape back. He's like, we got to play this. I'm like, this is just crap. I'm like, this is like
this Pearl is crap?
Pearl Jam, awful, rip-off crap. And then I found another 16. I'm like, all right, well, there's 16, so okay. Then I found another 16. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to rip off.
Something about a bathroom.
Ooh, and there's
something about a sink. So the water out of the tap is very... It's hard to drink, Rich.
Sing it, Adam.
It's hard
to drink. Chopping down more trees.
Frog Stump. What an album. That must have been... I think that's carried... That's carried the test of time, I think, Frog Stomp.
No. Listen, they may be 16. I'm not going to... When I was 16, I was writing music, too. But all I know is that's not a good song. All right, 617-779-0985. There was an era in, like, the 90s where, like, the biggest hits on radio were bands that nobody really liked.
The entire decade.
The beginning of the 90s was excellent.
Up until when?
Up until like 95.
Okay, music expert.
The entire decade, throw it out. The 90s?
Yes. Dude, are you kidding me?
All right.
Alice in Chains, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Tool.
Silverchair.
Up until what?
7 Mary 3.
Up until what year? Until about 96. Like, 96 on it was like Hootie and the Blowfish.
So much later than 96.
It was Bush.
Right until December 99.
7 Mary 3. Okay. It was like Dog's Eye View. Like, what were the biggest hits? Like, Fuel. Like, who was, like, favorite band was Fuel? Collective Soul. These Dish Wallet. These are the biggest bands.
Collective Soul. Yeah. Ooh, Dish
Marcy
Wallet.
Playground. I mean, these are the biggest bands.
Marcy Playground.
Nobody likes
Sex
those
and Candy,
bands.
Right?
Now, you might, like, enjoy the song when it's on, but, like, who goes to a Marcy Playground show?
Yeah, for the deep cuts.
It was like they're afraid to play anything. And, like, meanwhile, there were these bands that were kind of getting huge at the time. Like, there are bands like, like System of a Down. Hell, even Tool wasn't being played on radio at that point. And they were mega bands. They're like, oh, no, we got to play a little more. Marcy, you know, Tonic. Hey, you like Oleander?
Tonic.
Like, you know, bands that had, like, Vertical Horizon. Hey, how about them? Like, bands no one was passionate
Vertical
about.
Vertical Horizon was good for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, their song's okay. But, like, who, like, goes to those concerts? Well, except for Dan O'Brien.
Dan O'Brien went to those concerts.
And Hardy actually is a big Gin Blossoms. Gin Blossoms is okay.
Really? Oh, I like Gin Blossoms.
They're okay. Yeah, I'm not going to lump them in there because Gin Blossoms is an okay band. Yes, Dan.
I'm going to see the Gin Blossoms next Tuesday night, not a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
Vertical Horizon is opening up for them.
Are you rocking the Hampton Beach
at the Hampton Beach Casino Bar?
I called it.
Nice.
And next night it'll be Brett Michaels.
That's a show.
I'm trying to find out who the opening act is. I don't know if it's Fastball.
Fastball. I was about to say
Fastball. Or Marcy Playground. I'm being honest with you. I don't know.
Forgot about Fastball.
I'm trying to figure out.
98, right?
I guess the dude from Semisonic is like some mega producer or something now. Closing Time, which is a good song.
Dan Wilson, you don't know who he is?
Is he like some, he's a huge.
He's a catcher for the Mariners in the 90s.
No, he's written all of Adele's hits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Pink.
Really?
Dan Wilson is a huge.
He's a gazillionaire. Yeah, he wrote like a ton of hits.
Dixie Chicks.
Country songs, right. So he is like loaded. Closing Time's an okay song, but who's like a Semisonic fan?
Right.
I'm telling you, there's an
error. There's
like,
one thing to have a hit. There's another thing to have like an actual
Eve
following.
Six.
And don't say Eve Six. Eve Six had a lot of hits.
Well, other than they had the I Would Follow My Fire.
Yeah. Then they had the.
They had one other one. But you can't say that they were a band.
Here's
if they
to
came,
the nights we
if they came here, where would they play? If they came to Boston, where would they play?
Oh, I don't know.
Like the Paradise? Not even the Paradise. The parking lot. They'd be right next to 7 Mary 3 in the parking lot.
I guess right in the Kroger parking lot, yeah.
They probably would. All right, 617-779-0985. We are going to ask for your input on the following segment. Since Adam Jones is here for a couple days this week, he is the perfect person to help us compile our next bracket that we're going to do here.
90s bands.
No, it's not 90s bands. It's not like all things Silverchair. So we will get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.